Morning, everyone. We're on. Brilliant. Let me just get my bits and bobs together. Lovely. This story that we're about to look at will probably be familiar to quite a few of us. You might have heard it before at the Nativity play, sung about it, read about it, watched a film loosely connected to it. So you're not on a Christmas card. But one of the things I think Matthew wants us to see, we're going to look at Matthew's gospel, is he wants us to see that this is a surprising story. Last week, if you're at St. Clement's, you will have heard the preview. We looked at the first 17 verses of Matthew. 14 people born and dying, leading up to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the promised King. And Matthew starts the passage we're about to read with these words, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way." And what he's saying is that this birth is different to all the ones that came before. This birth is surprising. God is doing something new. And so my prayer for us this morning is that whether we've heard this story a billion times or whether this might be the first time we're hearing this story, that we might grasp that this is a story like no other. This is a surprising story. So let me read. If you've got a Bible on you, do turn to it. It's Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. There's some Bibles on pews if you want to grab them. I'm not actually using a pew Bible, so I can't tell you the page number. If you get there before me, you can shout it out. Or I might get there first, actually. I've got there quite quickly. Way. Oh, it doesn't have a page number. Shocking. 807, if you're in the pew Bibles. And I'm going to read from verses 18 to 25. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: 'Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. Now, I said this was a surprising story. And to help us unpack the surprise nature of this story, I've got three surprises that I want to tell you about. They're surprises which I have received, not necessarily at Christmas, sadly. My wife needs to do better and buy me more applicable presents for sermon illustrations. I've got some surprises to tell you about. This first one is maybe the worst present I've ever received, in my opinion. So other people out there might love it, but in my opinion, worst present. Terrible surprise this was. Can I have a volunteer to come and open the presents? Anyone fancy opening this surprise? You don't get to... AJ, you're going to do it? Oh, brilliant stuff. Thank you. Now, you don't get to keep the present, I'm afraid. You probably won't even want to keep it. It's that bad. Here we go. This is given to me by my darling wife, Beth. Thanks, AJ. Great. Well, you've been very experienced at this morning. Good work. Whoa! AJ, do you know what that is? No, not a clue, right? Not a clue. Hey, thanks very much. Can we give AJ a little round of applause? Can I go back and sit with your daddy? Lovely. Oh, very tidy as well. Very good. Anyone know what this is? An olive dish, Linda. So cultured. It's called an olive boat. I opened this when I was fairly newly married, and I was like, oh, thank you so much. Thanks, Beth. And in my head, I thought two things. I thought, this is such a rubbish present. Awful present. Olives deserve to be in a bin, not in a boat. And I thought, it was just rubbish. And I got a round of applause, I like that. And then I also thought, it's useless for me, because I don't really eat olives. But thankfully, Beth makes good use of it. That is the first, that's the terrible surprise. And the thing about this story, the Christmas story is, On the surface, it looks like a terrible, terrible surprise. Can you imagine the situation? Mary and Joseph sat around having a cup of tea. Mary says to Joseph, I've got some news, husband-to-be. I've got a baby inside me. And I'm not actually quite sure who the baby belongs to. In this culture at that time, this would have seemed like a terrible situation. It would be full of shock, full of shame, full of scandal. It's not a good situation for them to find themselves in, or so it seems. And Joseph recognizes that in verse 19. He's a good man, he's a just man, he wants to do the right thing. So he says, I'm going to break off this relationship so that it doesn't put Mary to too much shame. But on the surface, this seems like a terrible surprise, a terrible situation. It's supposed to make us go, whoa, this is big. God is, something different is happening here. Let's look at the second surprise. Can I have another volunteer? And this surprise is a better surprise. This surprise represents a better surprise. Again, I'm afraid you don't get to keep it if you unwrap it. It's very dear to my children. This surprise will help us understand why it wasn't such a terrible situation. Yes, do you want to come and open the... come down to the front. Come and open it for us. Thank you for volunteering. You can even face the people and so they can see what it is. Brilliant. That was efficient wrapping. You've got through a lot of presents this morning, I bet. Very good. Round of applause. Anyone know what that is? A broom, yes, a car, as a broom, as my son describes it. This is a car. One day, when I was 21, here you go, you can all see it, there, it's at the front. One day I was 21, oh no, chaos. I received a call from my granny, good old granny, and she said, Henry, I'm getting rid of my car. Do you want it? And I went, yes, granny, legend. I love my granny. She's the best person in the world. At that moment, she was my favorite person in the whole world. Why was that such a good surprise? Why was that such a thing that made me go, wow, this is amazing? It was because it was something I couldn't do for myself. I was a student. I had no money. I couldn't afford to buy myself a car. I didn't have the skills to make myself a car. But in steps granny with an amazing surprise. To do something I couldn't do, to give me a gift that I could not give. And that's one of the things that is so special about the virgin birth, the miraculous birth of Jesus. God is doing something that no one else could do. He's stepping into history. He's stepping into reality. He's coming, entering into our world in order to do something amazing. But verse 20 says, but as Joseph considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. He's saying, the angel is saying, it's a surprise visit. It's another surprise. He's saying, God is doing something. He's doing something that no one could do. And the birth of Jesus shows us that our God is a life from the dead kind of God. He brings life where there is no life. He brings hope where there is no hope. He's able to bring peace where there is no peace. So as we look around at our world this year and maybe think, what's going on? Chaos. Where is God? We need to remember that he has stepped into history. He's entered this world as a baby in order to remake this broken world. Jesus breaks the chain that came before him. In the beginning of Matthew's gospel, we have someone who was born and died, and that's because we're all sinful. Our lives all end with death, and Jesus came to break that chain of sin, that chain of death. He came to bring life from the dead, to bring hope where there was no hope, and that's what this birth shows us. We've got one more surprise, and this will help us to think about why this surprise is good for us now, today. And I've got nothing to unwrap, but there's going to hopefully be a picture come on the screen. Lovely. Two very attractive men on the screen for you. That is a picture, if you can't see it, that's a picture of me and one of my oldest and dearest friends called Robbie. And one day, I was sat in my living room. It was 10:30 at night. I got a knock at the door, big knock. It sounded like kind of, that wasn't very good. It sounded, you know when Amazon Prime knock on your door? The delivery man knocking on your door, it's a purposeful knock. You know they want you to answer. And I was like, who's that, 10:30? I haven't ordered anything, had a quick check. Opened the door, and there was my big red-headed friend standing at the door, completely unexpected, and I went, wow, and I gave him a big hug, and it was amazing. Now, I don't greet everyone who knocks on my door like that. Not delivery drivers, not even local friends. Why was it such an amazing thing to see Robbie? Well, it's because he had traveled a great distance. He got the plane from Aberdeen to Manchester, a few hundred miles, completely out of the blue, just to spend time with me. This was arranged by Beth just to redeem her from the terrible olive boat. So she does do nice things for me. He traveled a great distance and he paid a great cost. Cost him about £120 for that plane ticket just to come and spend 48 hours with me. He traveled a great distance and he paid a great cost. And that's what Jesus has done for us. Jesus has traveled a great distance to be with us and he's paid a great cost. And in Jesus, we see that God has come to us in order to bring us to himself. God has come to us to bring us to himself. And how do we know that? Well, from this passage, Jesus is referred to by two names. The first name is Emmanuel. Verse 22, verse 23 even. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. This is the name that he's going to be known as. This is what he's going to be known for. What does that name mean? It says in the next verse, God with us. Jesus Christ has traveled a great distance because he is God. It's not a geographical distance, but he has lowered himself. Alex said earlier, the God who made the universe, the God who holds the universe together, the God who reigns and rules for all eternity. He is the God who has been in a relationship with his Father for all eternity, in perfection, in glory. And he set that aside. He didn't become less. He didn't become less God, but he set his glory and privilege of heaven aside and he became a little baby, born into poverty. Why? To be God with us, to be a God that knows us, to be a God that gets alongside us, to be a God that knows what it's like to experience cost of living crisis. He lived in poverty. He lived in squalor. He was rejected. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Why? So he could know us. So he could have a relationship with us, so he could restore the very relationship we were made for, which is a relationship with our Father God. God has come to us in the person of Jesus. But it doesn't end there, because that name Jesus tells us his job, tells us what he came to do. Verse 21, she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. God has come to us to bring us to himself. He's not only traveled a great distance, but he's paid a great cost. You see, that life that began on a wooden manger, on a plank of wood, ended on a different plank of wood, ended on a cross. The life that started lower descended to the lowest of the low. The life that started in humility ended in humiliation as he hung there, dying on the cross. Why? To pay for my sin. Pay for all of our sins, so that we might be forgiven, so that our broken relationship with God might be fixed, so that for anyone who trusts in his name, you might receive forgiveness of sins, you might receive eternal life. As Alex said, that's the greatest gift this Christmas, right? There's nothing better than that. There's no greater news than that, that in this world of no hope, in this world of fear, actually the hopes and fears of all the years are met in him. Not in the presents, not in Christmas dinner, though we love it. But the thing is, with Christmas dinner and Christmas presents, they always leave you wanting more. There's always that empty feeling, isn't there, afterwards? But Jesus has come a great distance and paid a great cost, so those who might accept him shall not die but have eternal life. Would we make that our greatest focus and joy this Christmas? Would that be the reason we celebrate? Let me pray that it would be. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that into this surprising, shocking, crazy situation, you came as a humble little baby. And you came to us to bring us to yourself. Thank you that you humbled yourself, and thank you that you paid the cost. And thank you that we get to celebrate that today. Thank you for all the good things we do to celebrate that. And Jesus, thank you that we have life and hope and joy because of you. And fullness of life and hope and joy is found in you. Thank you that you came to us to bring us to yourself. We thank you in your name. Amen.